الحمد لله كفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد فلما أسلما وتله للجبين وناديناه أن يا إبراهيم قد صدقت الرؤيا إنا كذلك نجزي المحسنين صدق الله العظيم. Most respected elders and brothers in Islam, from the day of Eid al-Fitr, which we just witnessed a few weeks ago, the months that commence are called Ashhurul Hajj. They are termed as the months of Hajj, whether it is Shawwal or Dhul-Qa'dah and the after Dhul-Hijjah. It is a very blessed and Mubarak month for all of us in our daily activities in our entire year. We know that the what incidents took place that makes these months something very extra important in our lives. One is that of Hajj, where there are specific actions done at a specific time and at a specific place. أَفْعَالٌ مَخْصُوصَ فِي مَكَانٍ مَخْصُوصٍ فِي زَمَانٍ مَخْصُوصٍ. The acts, the rituals and actions of Hajj, they are different to normal. Where you are circumambulating, where you are making tawaf of the Kaaba, where you are going to Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah, where you are pelting, etc. These are specific actions. They are not carried out in any other acts of worship besides in Hajj and Umrah, obviously. Then, at a specific place, Hajj cannot be carried out anywhere else but in those places. And at a specific time. No other time in the year can Hajj be carried out except on those 5 days. Or if a person wants a sixth day also. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 of Hijjah. So one is that. And also that of Qurbani, Udhiyah, where we sacrifice that animal for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's many lessons to learn from these two. One is of Hajj too. One is of Udhiyah and Qurbani also. There are many lessons. We go through this every year. And as Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Where the instruction is given by Allah Ta'ala, our Creator, Nourisher, Cherisher, our Allah, the instruction is given from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That wadhakir, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, constantly remind. Not one time, not two times. Dhakir, those of us who understand Arabic will know this is a tense of instruction. Sighatul amr. And this yaqtadhi al-hal al-istimrar. Now and future all the time. Presently and in future. Constantly remind. فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Most certainly, reminders benefit those who have iman. We have iman, we have belief, we have faith. These reminders, it can be 120 times. But it's all beneficial for us. So year in, year out, when we come across these months of Hajj, of Qurbani, of Udhiyah, of sacrifice, of Ramadan, of Muharram, of Rabiul Awal, these all should serve as reminders to all of us. The same message is being reminded, we've been reminded about. So these two great, greatly rewarding, also great occurrences that take place every year, that is of Hajj and Qurbani, there are many lessons for us to learn from these things. And constantly remind ourselves of these lessons. Not only in these days. These lessons must be implemented and inculcated in our lives in every facet and walk of our life. What is that? The first lesson we learn from Hajj and from the sacrificing of the animal, the Qurbani, the Udhiyah. The incident that took place, we all know that incident time and again, 120 times we must have heard that incident that took place where Nabi Prophet Ibrahim a.s. was instructed to slaughter his son. I'm not going into the details and the history of it. But he was instructed by Allah. Lengthy incident that took place. And we know when the time came, when that animal was sent from Jannah, from paradise, and he slaughtered the animal. So the lesson, the glaring, avowed, very evident message and lesson for all of us to learn from these two incidents, these two occurrences, that is Hajj and Qurbani, is the lesson and the advice of sacrifice, of submission, to have a submissive nature to whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants and Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants. Whether we like it or don't like it, whether it conforms to our limited understanding and logic or not, whether we feel that these instructions of Quran and Hadith reflect our times and environment or not, whatever the circumstances. And this is what made the Sahaba radiallahu anhum successful. Sami'na wa ata. We heard and we obeyed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, we heard it, wa ata'na, and we obeyed. No questions asked, no question marks, no reservations, no objections, no doubts, at all. وَافَقَتْ هَوَاهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُوَافِقْهَا وَاتَّفَقَتْ مَعَا عَادَاتِهِمْ أَوْ لَمْ تَتَّفِقْ. Sahaba, companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this glaring avowed quality was in their lives that made them so successful. Radiallahu anhum wa radwan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased with them. They were pleased with Allah. But what made them successful? That they said, سَمِعْنَا وَعَطَى. We heard, we obeyed. Whether it conformed to their understanding or not. Many times we find today, unfortunately brothers, we go through this all the time. And it's increasing and getting worse. When we find a person, when we explain it from Quran, Hadith, this is what Allah Ta'ala says. In the Quran Sharif, glaring avowed verse of the Quran Sharif instruction. This is what Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the Hadith. What answers we hear? Brothers, I'm not talking from my pocket, I'm not shooting from my hip. My own ears have heard it. Not once, plenty times. Where a person will say, but Mufti Sahib or Maulana Sahib, Imam Sahib, Sheikh, this does not conform to my logic, I can't understand it. Why must I practice on it? Astaghfirullah. These statements take us right to the brink of leaving the fold of Islam. And many times we leave the fold of Islam without us even understanding. Very dangerous statements. Look at the concept of Hajj. Look at the concept and occurrences of Qurbani and slaughtering that animal. Look at the entire incident that took place of the father and son, Ibrahim a.s., Ismail a.s. Outwardly, if you look at it, logically, to our limited, very, very limited amount of understanding, logic, and fathoming. In reality, Allah Ta'ala was instructing the father to murder his son. Take your son and slaughter your son. Murder. But did they term it that way? It's Allah Ta'ala's instruction. I have to do it. Ya Bunayya, inni ara fil manam anni azbahuka. Oh my son, the father told the son, I've seen in my dream that I am slaughtering. So now let's go ahead. Fanzur ma'adha tara. How do we do it? What do we do it? Which way do we do it? Ya abatif al ma tu'mar. What the son told the father? Oh my father, if al ma tu'mar. Do what you've been told to do. Falamma aslama. I recite the verse at the beginning. They both submitted. And this is what we need to bring in our life. Every facet, every walk of our life, whether it conforms to our logic or not, ask ourselves this question, which I've asked this to many people. What is our logic and understanding in comparison to that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is our understanding, wisdom, reasoning in comparison to that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Nothing. He is the one that's given us the intellect. He's given us the understanding. And then we want to question Him after that. And we say He doesn't conform to our logic, our understanding. And only if He does, then I'll practice on it. So whether it conforms to our environmental practice or not, it conforms to our logic or not, our whims and fancies or not, whether we can even term it, which many have today, that certain practices are of the camel ages or not, whatever the circumstances be. Hajj is teaching us the same. The slaughtering of the animal, the incident that took place and what we do every year teaches the same. That submit yourself to the will of Allah, whatever the circumstances. And this is what made the Sahaba radiallahu anhum so successful. And we will be the same. We will follow pursuit in their pursuit. We will be, our whims and fancies should be congruent, in pursuit, in keeping to whatever Allah Ta'ala said. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئتم. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that when will your iman and your faith and your belief be complete? When will it be perfected? The only time it will be perfected and complete, hatta yakuna hawau tab'al lima jittu bi, when your whims and fancies, when your understanding, your actions, your desires are in conformity, are in pursuant, are in congruent to what I have explained and what I have brought. Whether, as I said, I repeat, whether we understand or understand, whether it conforms to our environment or not, whether it's something that's befitting the so-called that we say today camel ages or not. But He said it, Allah Ta'ala has said it, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said it, we have to accept it. If a person, just a few days ago, I was speaking to someone in Haramain Sharifain, I was telling them that if somebody has to really look at tawaf, any time of the day, 24/7, people are in ihram, people are circumambulating, making tawaf the Kaaba, going to Safa and Marwa. When it comes to Hajj, they're going to Mina, why? When they're going to Arafat, why? When they're going to Arafat certain times, why? A certain procedure to follow. They say these people, there's some insanity in them. If a person outwardly as a non-Muslim looks at it. But why are they doing it? Out of love for Allah. Same submission. So every facet of our life, the five facets of life, being of our beliefs, aqaid. Second, ibadat, acts of worship. Third, mu'amalat, our dealings. Buying, selling, dealing, partnerships, estates, wills, our trust deeds, our agreements. That's our dealings. Fourth being mu'asharat, our social interaction with people. Fifth being our akhlaq and character. All these five must be such that this quality of submission is found. And that is where our iman and faith in Allah will be complete and perfected. So this is the first lesson we learn from Hajj and Qurbani. Hajj and the sacrificing of the animal. Second being, there are so many, time is so limited, just have 5 minutes left. The second lesson being of commitment. When the son gave the commitment to the father, Ya abati if'al ma tu'mar, O my father, do as you've been told to do. There was no then turning back. They went all the way. They did what they had to do from their side. But Allah Ta'ala didn't change the circumstances. The son was not slaughtered. The animal was slaughtered in place of the son. But what he did from his side, the son, and then the father also, that I have to do what I have to do. I gave my zaban, as you say in Urdu, zaban is my tongue, my commitment. In Arabic, say lisan. In English, you say your commitment is given. Whatever the circumstances be, I have to keep by. And this is what we found in the olden days amongst our elders. The elderly people will be witnesses to that. The Zaban was there. Today, where is it? Today, we can even write it, but we'll reinterpret it and make changes and have witnesses also. We can do whatever it is, but then changes are made. And this is what has removed the barakat in our lives. You find today, there can be plentitude of wealth, plentitude of many things in the world. But where's the barakat gone? Where's the blessings gone? Where's Allah Ta'ala's divine intervention gone and mercy gone? It's because of these qualities that we don't have, of this commitment, submission in our lives. Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned famous hadith that Ayatul Munafiqi Salat. A munafiq, a hypocrite, he's got three qualities. And one narration has four qualities. One is إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبْ. When he speaks lies. Again, commitment given, but you're speaking a lie after that. Trying to justify your wrongs and speak lies. That is why in another hadith, Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, إِذَا كَذَبَ الْعَبْدُ تَبَعَدَ عَنْهُ الْمَلَكُ مِيلًا مِنْ نَتْنِ مَا جَعَدِ. That when a person speaks lies, jute bath, speaks lies, whether it's a straight lie, or a crooked lie, or a roundabout lie. Today is many different lies, many different interpretations we make. Many a time it's not a straight lie, it's a roundabout lie. But when a person speaks lies, what happens is the angels of rahmah, of mercy, of barakah, of blessings, they distance themselves from that person 1 mile. Because of that smell and stench caused in a person's mouth. He can use whatever he wants to remove it. Outwardly it won't be removed. Those angels are gone. They have left the person, they have distanced themselves away from that person. Person then says, why in my business is no barakat? Why in my home there's no barakat? Why in my life there's no barakat? Why there's no happiness? Why no enjoyment? Why not this? Why not that? One of the major causes is this zaban and this tongue. You've spoken that lie. And then you want to say another 10 lies to cover up that first lie. Rather, shame yourself, never mind, humiliate yourself for a short while. Confess I spoke a lie and rectify it and then speak the truth after that. So the first quality of a munafiq hypocrite, when he speaks lies. Second, إِذَا وَعْدَ أَخْلَفْ. When he makes a promise, he breaks that promise. Whether in writing, whether verbally. Commitment is given to pay by 7 days, 30 days, 60 days, whatever the commitment was. And then the person breaks that promise. And he thinks he got away. Today many people fool themselves in this world. I got away. I used every loophole in the system. Many times we are using the crooked loopholes or the straight loopholes. And many a times we are using those means that outwardly look permissible to break those promises or those commitments. But in the eyes of Allah, we know we can't get away. Try every loophole. Maybe you got away, you use the law, use the best professional in the field and try to get away. Maybe you get away here, but never in the eyes of Allah in that grave and hereafter. So secondly, the quality is when a person makes a promise, he breaks. And third, إِذَا تُمِنَ خَانَ. When a person is given some trust and amanat, he betrays the trust. He betrays the amanat. Any form of trusteeship, whether it be of some endowment and waqf, whether it be of some estate, whether it be of some masjid and madrasa, whether it be of any form of amanat a person is given, he betrays that. And as I said, one more quality of a hypocrite and munafiq, إِذَا خَاسَبَ فَجَرْ. That when he disputes, he begins to use the incorrect words, vulgar language, the swear words, which have become like verbal diarrhea on many people's tongues today. These are all qualities and characteristics that are found and avowed in that of a munafiq and a hypocrite. Imagine if someone has to call us today that your name is Abdullah, or your name is Muhammad, or your name is Zaid, and he tells you you're a munafiq. How we feel, how hurt we feel, you're a hypocrite. But when we have these qualities in our life, when these qualities are found in us, of speaking lies, breaking promises, betraying trust, using the incorrect words and vulgar language, when we dispute, these are all qualities of a monastic and hypocrite. We bring the qualities in our life, so what are we then termed after them? Are we termed Muslims or a monastic or hypocrites after them? So these, time has expired, respected brothers. These two aspects I mentioned today. One is that of submission. Every facet, every walk of our life have this quality of submission in our lives. To the will of Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And secondly, the aspect of commitment. When a commitment is given, when we've gave our word for something, whether writing or verbally, let us not betray that trust. Let us not break those promises. Let us not speak lies and have the incorrect words in our tongues. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Make Ahmad wa khidr alhamdulillah.